Morning, TBC. As we have already talked about, yes, we are starting a new series on prayer. And what a great morning it's been already. It's so lovely coming together. It's good that you've turned up, even though it's a long weekend. You're a good turnout in the house. I'm impressed. Prayer. When you talk about prayer, people think of different things, don't you? It depends on what you have experienced and been exposed to with prayer. So when you say prayer, I imagine everyone thinks of different things. For me, I suppose there's been a journey with prayer over the years. So when I was 15, I got invited along to a church and they shared the gospel really clearly. I then found myself in my bedroom one night just crying out to the Lord, just saying, I don't understand the cross. I don't understand the cross. And I just crying out to him by myself in the bedroom. And then I just started weeping, just bawling my eyes out. And I just got overcome with this conviction that Jesus Christ died for me. And in that moment, it just became so personal. And there was no word, there was no vision, but I just got flooded with this conviction and this understanding of the cross and that Jesus died for me. Around about that same kind of time in my life, I did an Alpha course. And the Alpha course resulted in a weekend away out at Murawai. This was a few years back. And in that weekend away, there's this time of prayer and praying at the end to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be equipped with the Holy Spirit. And I remember at that time praying to speak in tongues. And so as people prayed for me, then nothing happened. A few years later, not quite sure of the timing, I then find myself down at Easter Camp. So Easter Camp at that time was at Finlay Park. So this is before Easter Camp got too big and then they moved to Mystery Creek. So it's not E-Camp. Easter Camp used to be at Finlay Park. And they had this kind of dance party in a marquee there that evening. And there was a guy there that was really triggered by this dance party because he had been struggling with drugs and parties. And so all the music just reminded him of all that. So he actually fled from the marquee out into the surrounding fields. I remember following him out and going to him, and he started sharing with me about what had happened. So I said, can I pray for you? And so he said, yeah. So I started praying for him, and I was like, I had no idea what to pray for. And then in that moment, I just suddenly started speaking in tongues for the first time. So it was my experience at that point. Go forward a few years later, I'm then sitting at my desk and I'm preaching that week and I'm like, oh man, I didn't know what to preach on. And I was like, Lord, what do I speak on this week? Help me. And I felt like the Lord just said, write. And so I started writing. I had these stream of words that were not my words. I'd never experienced something like that before. And then that gave some direction on what to speak on. And so I preached on Haggai that week, and then I shared this word that I had received at the end of that. This is some of the words that came at that time. This is a while back. We face a spiritual drought. Our mouths are speaking, our hands are doing, but our hearts are weeping. We must let go of the fire that burns outside the soul and chase the fire that burns within, the quiet calling of God's voice that rests upon our hearts that longs to be expressed. The word continued and then it finished like this. You're not called to build your kingdom, you're called to build my kingdom, says the Lord. A kingdom of love, a kingdom of patience, a kingdom of kindness, a kingdom that will never rust, perish, or disappear. This is my kingdom. Are you my kingdom builder? So this is almost 20 years ago. So, and just sharing with you that experience of that. So a bit later with my walk with Jesus, he started to introduce me to this whole 24/7 lifestyle of prayer. And I went through this becoming more and more aware of the fact that he was always with me. I could always talk with him. He was always there to lead and to guide. And I had this season in my life of writing down everything and journaling for a number of years. All the things, you'd sit and talk and pray and you'd write down what he'd say and there might be a word or a vision. And journaling became this really big part of my life and part of my prayer life. But as I look back at that, I look at and see that he was training and awakening within me this awareness of his voice and of his presence so that in the busyness of my daily life, his quiet voice is the loudest voice I hear. It became a time of preparation and becoming aware that he's always with me, that he always cares, that he's always talking. I don't journal very much anymore, but that period of my life changed my understanding of prayer to being this 24/7 lifestyle of being with him, talking, listening, and actually engaging with him in the midst of everything. At the same time, I started doing a few kind of what's called silent retreats. I don't know if anyone's ever done that before. and you kind of go and spend a few days in a room by yourself just so you can actually seek God and pray. And I also did that out in the Waitakere Ranges a few times. I had a few favourite spots out at Kerikeri and the Mercer Bay Loop. I'm not going to tell you exactly where they are because they're still my favourite spots. So, but out that way, there's some good spots. And times of solitude. Now, I don't know if you've ever had this before, but if you sit in times of solitude, man, I just became aware of how noisy my inner life was. It's like you're worrying about things and you're thinking about things, and man, it's really hard to kind of sit quietly. It's like,
hallelujah.
Yeah, it is. And then there's this advice out there around how to quieten yourself. It did not work for me. And the breakthrough moment for me was when I just started talking to Jesus about all the things that I was thinking about and worrying about and anxious about. It's like, why am I worried about that, Lord? And as I started to just talk to him about the noise, then he started to respond, to lead, to encourage. And that was this moment of breakthrough for me. So I look back at this journey and I see that these encounters with God's presence, this journaling and this solitude was actually this preparation journey leading into this 24/7 lifestyle of prayer where being with God and his presence and talking with him is your daily normal. And all of these things were stepping stones that kind of introduced me to this land of freedom in Christ where I'm never alone. He's always with me. I've always got someone to turn to. And so I don't find that I have to be in solitude or have to journal or have to have an external encounter with his power to actually experience his voice, his leading, and his presence. And so in the midst of busyness, decisions, meetings, conversations, through the week we can talk to him. We can receive from him. We can stay in his will. And yes, we will sometimes make mistakes. And we still need his grace and forgiveness. And in those moments, he then teaches us. And yes, we still need to receive from other people because we are part of the body of Christ and he will constantly give things to other people that we need. So we're still needing to receive from other people as we do this journey. But this 24/7 lifestyle of prayer is actually what we're called to, this intimate communion with Jesus. It's how we actually stay in Christ. It's how we remain in his will. So as we talk to him, as we pray, he will lead us to pray about lots of things. He'll lead us to pray for other people. But a large part of our prayer life is so that through our day, we can stay in his will. We can keep in step with the Spirit through the whole part of our week. So we're going to spend a few weeks on this, actually. And in the middle of it, we have a prayer panel coming up, which is going to be good. We've got the age range of our prayer panel from 21 to 95, so there's going to be a good range of experience and wisdom in there, so that's in a couple of weeks' time. And there are many scriptures that call us to this 24/7 lifestyle of prayer. We've read one today already. Let's just touch base on it. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador, that's a hard sequence, an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So let's briefly talk about prayer direction as a way of thinking and unpacking this whole topic of prayer. And I've got a couple of illustrations. So this 24/7 lifestyle of prayer. Okay, so prayer is talking to God. Yeah, so we ask him things. You know, it could be questions that we have for him. We actually thank him. It's like praising him. I just wanted to thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you did there. I just acknowledge your hand in that. It can be sharing with him. It's just you're offloading. You're just like, oh, man, I'm really struggling today. I just need you to know it, and I just need your help. It actually becomes like that friendship we're talking about. It's not just formal asking. It's actually also just acknowledging and thanking, and it's also just sharing with him. Does that make sense? It's talking with your Lord. He's with you. He's with you always, 24/7. But then it's not just talking because it's also listening. So the direction changes. So he answers. So he'll give answers. He'll also give instructions and guidance in terms of what we should do. He'll bring encouragement when we're struggling. There'll be wisdom and teaching. Is it making sense? So there's a response from him. And then what? Then what do we do? Well, we should know this one. We obey. Doesn't always look like that. Depends on what the task is. So we actually then do what he asks us to do. Does that make sense? So our conversations with him, we're talking, we're asking, he responds, actually then leads to obedience, where we're actually outworking the wisdom, the guidance, the instruction that he is actually calling us to. Does that make sense? So the prayer is actually not a passive experience. It's actually like, Lord, what am I doing here? Okay, yeah, go left. Okay, yeah, then you go left. Or, oh, man, I'm really struggling with this. I really need some encouragement. He encourages you and he says, now, come on, keep moving with it. So then you keep moving. And that response to how he has responded is obedience. We actually then keep in his will and respond to what he's actually asking of us. But wait, there's more. Prayer in the Spirit is actually this other dynamic in our prayer life where God is guiding our words. The result is that the Lord is leading our prayers so that we're praying his will. So the source is the Holy Spirit is bubbling up with things to pray about and things to pray for. It's not so much things that we've thought of, or it's not so much the experiences around us. We are led by the Spirit in our prayer life. Does that make sense? And so in that moment of praying, we are praying prayers that he's leading us into, and we're praying in his will. And then we continue on from there. And there's a dynamic that sometimes occurs where the Lord will be actually speaking to us so that we pass something on to other people. Does that make sense? So he will actually speak to you, not necessarily in response to a question or an encouragement. He's actually saying, look, I've got something that I need you to write down or to pass on to someone else. In that moment, he's wanting to use you as a mouthpiece to bring a blessing to someone else. It's actually not so much about you receiving an encouragement, but maybe someone else receiving an encouragement. Does that make sense? Yeah. Actually, one of the key discernment journeys of prayer is actually knowing when it's for you and when it's for someone else. Because the risk is when God starts talking to you and giving you things, you think, oh, that's for someone else, that's for someone else. And a lot of the time, it's just for you. And so knowing when to pass that on is actually part of the discernment. So let's unpack this. So let's start with talking. To remain in Jesus is actually very simple, as it starts with staying close to Jesus, talking with him, and talking to God all through your day. Simple doesn't necessarily mean that there's not challenges and that it's actually hard to outwork, but the simplicity is we walk close with our Lord who's with us. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. We are constantly in that place. We're praying without ceasing. You know, one of the other translations says, pray without ceasing. You're like, man, that's impossible. How do you not stop praying? Well, you're constantly in that place of intimacy with him. You're constantly aware of him. Every part of your day you can engage and talk and follow him through that. When we get anxious or worried, what do? Talk to him. Jesus is the giver of peace and rest. When we need to make a decision, talk to him. Jesus cares if you go left or if you go right. When we experience opposition, things are getting difficult, talk to him. Is it him blocking your path? Or Satan, how do you know? Sometimes he's directing you and saying, no, don't go this way. Sometimes the devil's getting involved. Talk to him. He'll give clarity. When we are confused and it just feels like a nighttime, share this with him and seek his understanding. He will turn the lights on. When we are struggling to persevere, what do we do? Ask him for the perseverance and the strength. When we feel upset or sad, ask him for comfort. He brings comfort. When we feel lonely, talk to him. We're never alone. He will never leave us or forsake us. We're never without his presence. When we feel disheartened, ask for encouragement. When things go well, praise him, thank him. When things go badly, thank him, and then ask him to help you understand why things are going in this particular way. Just say his name, Jesus. You know, I just love you, Lord. There's nothing else to say. You just want to just rest and be with him. And it just comes from those small breath prayers of praise. And a lot of this can be allowed, but most of it happens on the inside through your day. So if we all take a moment and you just close your eyes and you say, I love you, Lord, without saying any words. So this is a place, 24/7 prayer, throughout your entire day where you are engaging and talking with him. Whatever you're doing, wherever you are, seek him and listen. So we're talking, but then we're also what? We're listening. Do we just talk to God and then walk away? Or do we have a conversation? Does God talk to us? My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. And then again later on in the same Gospel of John, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So yes, God absolutely communicates with us in response to our prayers. So when a human talks, they use their, you know, their voice, and then you hear my tone, and you see my facials, and then there's the body language as well. There's all these multiple layers of communication when you're talking with someone. So God, when he communicates with us, will communicate in multiple ways, and often at the same time. And those layers of communication actually help us to understand what he's saying. He'll speak into our thought life. So in that same place where we were before, he will speak into our thought life with words and images that we could write down. He will give us dreams and visions to guide and prepare us along the way. You know, dreams when you're asleep, visions like you actually can see a picture or a movie when you're awake. He will remind us of things that he has previously said to us. He will remind us of the scriptures that we have read. He will remind us of other things that he has said in our previous prayer times. He will gift us the physical experience of peace and stillness. And so as you're talking with him, you may get him speaking to your thought life, and it comes with an overwhelming peace. And so you get this layering of his communication. Like, peace is a huge part of how you are knowing God's voice in your life, because he brings peace. And so your awareness of what's happening on your inner life is actually part of your discernment process. His presence and his power within us will become familiar and a comfort as we seek confirmation and direction. So the physical sensation of his presence, or the movement of the Holy Spirit in us, is actually part of that leading. So when we feel the wind blowing this way and we're walking this way, we actually experience that tension that we're not actually walking in the direction that he needs us to go. We become aware of the current of the Holy Spirit and the peace of Christ within us. It's part of his response and leading to our questions and our discussions with him. At times, joy and praise will rise like a geyser within you as you just want to just honor and extol him. And even that rising up within you is part of that confirmation in response to what you are talking to him about. And he will also and continue to bring answers and encouragements through the words of other people and other situations beyond yourself. And that never goes away. And that is one of the great encouragements. You will pray about something and then the answer actually comes from someone else, like the next day or the same day. And it's part of, it brings a real depth of testing and discernment to what God is doing. It reminds us that we're woven together, that we are to support and encourage each other in this journey of faith through this world. Okay, so it's listening. Talking, listening, and then what comes next is obedience, as we obey what he is leading us into through our day. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. So this obedience is actually in direct response to the Holy Spirit leading us through our day. It is not just a rules-based obedience. It's not even just a memorize the scripture-based obedience. It is a relational response to where the Lord is leading us in the midst of everything that's going on for each of us. And the Holy Spirit will apply truth to our daily life. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and preaching and rebuking. Anything that the Holy Spirit and God asks of us will never contradict the truth, the scriptures that we have received. But the Holy Spirit will apply the right truth at the right time and show us how and where and when through our daily life. Does that make sense? If you are going through a difficult situation and then Jesus reminds you, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Then taking this truth and believing it is your act of obedience at that point. If you have to make a decision about a job offer and then Jesus says, it's not the right time for you to have this job, I have other plans, then saying no to that job offer is your act of obedience at that time. If you're struggling with worry and anxiety and Jesus says, I have prepared a path for you, I have already made a plan, you do not need to do anything about this thing that you're worrying about, then taking his words and believing them and letting go of the thing that is worrying you is your act of obedience at that time. If you're feeling lonely and Jesus says, go and join the university chess club, there are people there that you will meet and I will actually use you in their life, then joining the chess club is your act of obedience at that time. Is this making sense? If you're in a conversation with someone and you're talking with them, and as you're talking with them, you're asking Jesus what to say, and he tells you to share about how much you loved church last week, then talking about your time at church last week with that person then is your act of obedience. Is that making sense? And this 24/7 lifestyle of prayer is just woven through every aspect of our day. As the Lord guides us, responds to our prayer requests, we then obey. If you're in a business meeting with someone and they're putting pressure on you to make a quick decision and Jesus says, wait, I need you to wait, then pausing and making the decision later is your act of obedience. So obedience is the natural overflow of our prayer life, and that keeps us in step with the Spirit, that keeps us in his will, it keeps us close to Jesus through the rest of our weeks when we're not in the room so focused on worshiping. Actually, our whole life is an act of worship. We offer our lives as living sacrifices, and so this lifestyle of prayer and staying close and talking and being in engagement with him is what we're called to. So let's talk about this other aspect of prayer, where the scripture we read today even talks about praying in the Spirit. So as we draw close to Jesus, his Spirit becomes really familiar, and we start to experience a unity in the Spirit, where the Spirit will often guide our conversations and prayers. There's a lot of scriptures that talk about this. Here are two of them. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. So when we're praying in the Spirit, we're no longer simply praying for the things that are on our minds. We're praying for the things that the Spirit leads us to pray for. There's an overflow of the Holy Spirit leading the very prayers that we're asking. What we're experiencing in our daily life is not the inspiration for our prayers in that moment. The Holy Spirit is the source of the prayers. And there's this great freedom in praying in the Spirit, for he leads us to pray his will, so that in that very moment, the prayers are actually bringing a blessing and drawing our attention to his desires and his focus at that point. So we may be praying for a particular door to open. Man, Lord, we want this door to open in our life, this opportunity. But as we start praying, we're led by the Spirit rather to pray for the perseverance necessary to wait for the next door. So in that moment, even though the Holy Spirit is even starting to respond to our heart's desire and lead us to pray differently. We also start praying about things we are not necessarily thinking about, which introduces us to new aspects of the kingdom, and our relationship with Jesus grows deeper. Praying in the Spirit can happen by ourselves, in our room, can happen during our day when we're praying on the inside, and it can happen when we're praying with other people. Lord, lead, you know, you go to pray for someone. Lord, lead me in this prayer. And as we wait on him, he gives us words to pray for the person. I don't know if anyone's ever had that experience. And so it's not sometimes you're praying specifically into a need in their life, but sometimes you just, Lord, lead me in this prayer. And at some points, praying in the Spirit can actually result in you praying for things that are more like a word of knowledge or a prophecy for the person. They're like, how did you know that? And the truth is you did not know that. And that your recognition of the fact that you didn't know what to pray and you just turned to the Lord, lead me in this prayer, is what brought a blessing and an encouragement in that prayer moment. Praying and leading in the power of the Spirit becomes more familiar, it becomes actually harder to pray in your own strength, because the Holy Spirit becomes like a wind, becomes like a current. And so praying in the Spirit feels like a river current carrying your prayers, whilst praying without his leading feels like you're needing a paddle kind of to get back into the current. Both are part of our walk of faith. You know, both are part of our walk of faith. But praying according to his will as the Spirit leads is actually something that should become familiar for us. Okay, last one, which we illustrated at the beginning there, is that sometimes God speaks to us, not for us, but for others. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets through humans spoke from God as they are carried along by the Holy Spirit. So in a moment like this, he's not just answering a question that we have asked. He's actually giving something that he wants to pass on to someone else. Sometimes, actually, his response is just for us, you know, and you could write down what he said. So there's this discernment around who's this for? Why is this rising up like this? So he's specifically giving words for someone else. It might be a picture in our mind or a series of pictures or a vision or even words that you can write down. He is speaking to us so that we can be a mouthpiece for his words for the benefit and blessing of someone else in that moment. It might be that he is giving the answer to someone else's prayer to you. Does that make sense? So that when you go and share that with them, they are so encouraged. And they're like, praise the Lord, I've been praying about this. And you're actually bringing an answer to someone else's prayer. I don't know if anyone has ever had that experience. But when someone else brings an answer to the prayer that you've been praying, you just want to jump for joy. You're like, thank you, Lord. There's such a confirmation in that. It might be that he wants you to bring a random encouragement. It's not something that they've been praying about, but the Lord knew they needed an encouragement. It might be that God is preparing them for something in the future. And actually, as you bring the word or the prayer or whatever it is that the Lord asked, they are then prepared for what's around the corner and ready. And then when it happens, they know that God was actually in it because he signaled it in advance. Sometimes the delivery of a word can be very, very clearly in the form of, look, I feel like the Lord has got this to share with you. But sometimes it can actually just come out in conversation where you feel that the Lord is leading you and it's actually guiding your conversation in that moment. Or even if you're speaking or sharing words with other people, like in a setting like this, and you feel like the Lord is led to bring certain words. And that is exactly what Paul was praying, asking for, actually, in the scripture we read today. And this is what it said. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. So if we were to kind of try and bring it all together, it's just trying to think about prayer in the fullness of what our inheritance in Christ is. We can talk to him. He will respond to us and we can listen. We can then obey the leading and the guidance of the Spirit of his voice through every aspect of our day. There is a dynamic of freedom that can come where we can actually start praying in the Spirit, where our prayers are actually bubbling up and he is the source of even the prayers that we're starting to pray. And there's a great freedom when that happens. There is also the body of Christ where he uses us to bring encouragements to each other, where he will give words and insights to each of us to pass on. And we need that corporate encouragement that comes. So we're going to spend a lot of time on prayer in the next few weeks. This is the beginning. This is kind of the big picture look at it. And in the middle, we're going to have that prayer panel hearing from our TBC family, which is something to look forward to. But let me finish with a human metaphor, and then we'll wrap it up. So when I first got to know my wife, Carlene, I enjoyed talking with her a lot. And it did not take long to actually recognize her voice, so that if I could hear Carlene's voice in the room, I knew it was her. I didn't even need to look at her because her voice had become so familiar. Over time, I then learned to recognize her tone. You know, you can start to realize how she's feeling or thinking just through tone. And then even with even more time, all of that is required is a look. Or possibly a hand squeeze. And so using a human metaphor as we journey with the Lord, what starts with first, you know, getting to know his voice starts to become more and more familiar, and the layers of how he communicates can grow, develop, and change. So that just even just the change of peace within us starts to cue, oh, we're going too far to the right of where God wants us to go. Does that make sense? You start to go, oh, there's this conviction, and you don't immediately know why, but you're like, and then you pause, you realize that the Lord's trying to bring you back on course. It's like a hand squeeze, isn't it? It's like the Lord going, hurt. And so there's this development and growth and in our recognition of how he responds and leads us as we come into that close communion and intimacy with him. Talking, listening, obeying in the Spirit becomes a natural part of our everyday life. It becomes who we are. So let's close with the worship team coming up and we'll close in prayer. And at the same time, we're actually closing our live stream for the first time. This is our trial. Thank you for being with us. And we look forward to spending time with you next week. But let's pray.